Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives. Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headline.
Excuse me. It's been a while since I've been on the controls and everything. As you know, I just like to share with the supporters. As you know, I've been going through treatments and everything, and my treatments will end on July 16th, 17th, something like that. And they will take me 30 days after that to recover. I know I haven't been consistent in having shows every week, but because due to my medical condition, I should say, you know, just sometimes it prevent me from conducting the show. But however, tonight, here I am, Black Urban America, you know, and tonight we have Mr. Donald Scoggins, and he will be explaining to us why it's so important to participate in the local elections. Good evening.
Thank you
very
much.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Nice being on your show this evening on a very important topic.
Yes, it's a very important topic. It's a topic that we must discuss on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. What I wanted to say in reference to the local elections, why it's very important, is because our elected officials or our politicians at the national level, your senators and your congressmen, we really get down to it. They are basically advocating for certain budgets and everything. Their main duty is to make sure that the various funding for various programs are budgeted. What many people do not realize is that these programs that they're charged with making sure that are budgeted, they are programs that you would see from HUD or from Department of Education or from the Health and Human Services. A lot of the, I would say not a lot, but all the domestic programs that these public officials or these politicians are charged with making sure that there's budget or money for, they have to be implemented. If they are implemented at the local level, not the national level. These national programs that you hear them talk about, if there's no mechanism or no infrastructure at the local level for them to be implemented or carried out, then they're not going to be carried out. And guess who carry those things out? Your local officials carry these things out. If you have a local government that may not be sensitive to some of these national programs, then they're not going to be implemented. I mean, it's as simple as that. And at the local level is where, as they say, the rubber meets the road, you know. And if you want things to get done, you have to make sure that your local officials are on the same wavelength to get that done. Here where I live in Prince William County, where I'm running for chairman of the Board of Supervisors, there have been things they've been talking about for 10, 15 years, and they still haven't been done. And guess the reason? And the reason why is because the local officials didn't want to get them done. You know, so they're not going to get done. So it's up to the local government or local officials to make sure that they have various departments or they have various staff people or, you know, people with the proper expertise to carry these programs out. If they don't do that, then 10 years you'd be talking about the same thing. So that's what got me interested in being involved in local elections, because I tell you the truth, I'm more of a pragmatic do type person rather than a lot of say so. I like to do so. So that's why I like the local election, because I like to see things get done. And you could do all the beautiful talking you want at the national level, but if you can't get them implemented, or if you don't have the structure or the infrastructure to get it implemented, then you're just whistling Dixie.
So. Do you think if you have an issue to push, if you have do you think that you should start on the local level?
Well, here's what happens. The local level, of course, that's where you start. But in order for a program to be implemented, to get funding for that particular program, usually you want it to be something that there's a need maybe nationally, not just in a particular locality, but these issues should be something that's germane or applicable to various cities, states, and towns throughout the nation. And once that comes to fore, then it's up to the various departments or the various governmental entities to create policy that will address those programs. And that's where the federal money comes in. The federal government the federal government comes up with the policy that gives the direction as to how these programs are going to be implemented, and that the local level is where they're implemented, and the various local governments have to implement the programs based on certain policies. And I will tell you this, some of these policies that they come up with are so convoluted and everything that they don't get implemented. You know, it's almost like you've heard this term that something is designed to fail. Well, a lot of these programs are designed to fail. It may not be intentional, but that is what happens, because you can't do this until you do that. And some of these some of these national programs they have out there, the federal government will give X amount of money, and the local government has to come up with X amount. So if the local government doesn't have their share of the money to come up with, then the program doesn't get implemented, or they have to get a waiver or something from the national government to do these things. So it's not as simple as it looks, you know.
So who makes up the process?
You say who makes up the process?
Yes.
Excuse me. The process is usually designed that's where your national leaders come in. Your national leaders will charge. They will give charge to a federal department to come up with policies to address certain issues that they have brought to the federal government. When you look at TV and you see these congressmen arguing over different things. What they're doing is arguing over, a lot of time they're arguing over policy to implement certain programs. And if you have a certain program you want to get implemented, if the policy that they come up with is something that the local level can't carry out, then the program is not going to be successful. And I've also seen at the local level, which really, you know, I'll say this, and it really pains me to admit this, but in many cases, these national programs are designed to keep people in bondage, so to speak. You know, it's almost designed to not solve a problem, because if you solve a problem, there's going to be many people out of a job. You know, so I mean, you have to, it's almost like the government and these politicians sometimes come up with ways of keeping people always having to come back to the government for more. You know, you've heard the refrain that, and this is very, you hear this a lot on a local level throughout the country when it comes to education. They say, well, we need more money. You know, we need more money. We need more money. So if you need more money, evidently it could be that something is not being done right. You know, I mean, if you have to constantly need more money to get the job done, then maybe the people who are doing the job need to do something else. You know, that's my take on it.
Yeah. So tell me, when you talk about the office that you're running for, what is the responsibility of the office that you're running for?
Okay, I'm running for chairman of the Board of County Supervisors in Prince William County, Virginia. Now, the chairman doesn't have any more power than any of the other local supervisors. In Prince William County, I think we have 7 or 8 districts. You have 7 or 8 districts and the chairman. The supervisors run for office in their particular district. The chairman has to run at large. So instead of just representing one particular district, the chairman, in effect, represents the entire county. But you have no more, your vote is no more than anybody else's vote. So being the chairman, I mean, it's a nice, you know, being chairman is just what it says, but you're mainly charged with heading over the meetings. You know, you preside over the meetings that they have, and you set the agenda as to what's going to come up when they have the public meetings and everything, what's going to be discussed and things like that, and what's going to be decided. You take, for example, you have a planning commission. The planning commission presides over developers and people that come in to get zoning changes so they can develop a piece of land and everything. So that's what the planning commission does. They look over that to make sure that the proposals of developers meet the meet what they call the strategic plan of the particular locality. The planning commission presides over those types of issues, and then whatever they decide has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors. So after the Planning Commission does all their vetting and everything, they will make a recommendation one way or the other, but they will have to send it to the Board of Supervisors for their approval and everything. So the board is just what I said. It's a body that represents the 7-8 districts in the county and the chairman, which is at large.
Okay. I'm going to switch the focus of the conversation to I know we're supposed to talk about local elections.
Right.
But it appears that debates are starting in the Democratic Party. Thus far, I'm not personally. I watched them. And I found it to be quite boring. What you think?
Mm-hmm. When you say what is boring, oh, you mean the debates?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I watched both debates myself. To me, I'm going to give you my opinion on it. I really didn't think that they were necessarily decided anything. It seemed like they were more of a show than anything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that people, like, for example, Kamala Harris, who pointedly went after Joe Biden about his record of relationship with two segregationist senators way back when, back in the 70s, I guess it was. I mean, to me, that was then and this is now. You know, you can't, in a way, you can't compare the two, because what was going on back then was back then, and what goes on now is today. So I would have looked at it in terms of what has he done lately, you know, how he's performed lately. Because when you see what happened 40-some years ago, or 35 or 40-some years ago, a lot of it depended on the atmosphere or what the environment was like at the time, you know. And if I was a senator back in that time, my goal is to deliver to my constituents. You know, the people who elect you, those are the ones that you really have the ultimate, you know, who's your ultimate person that decides on what you should and should not do, you know. So if he has to, how should I put it, negotiate with these segregationists to get certain things for his constituent, then it's his job to negotiate. You know,
that's right.
You can't be just rigid. In other words, if I have a child and the baby is starving and don't have any money, and you need money to go and to buy food and everything, and someone say, well, so and so over there, they can give you some money to buy some food for your family. I'm not gonna say, well, I'm not going over there because, you know, they're racist and such. You know, I don't care about whether them being racist about that. I'm care about getting money for the family. That's what you have to be focused about. You know, so it's just like I would just say this. I remember years ago, you heard the debate between Booker T. Washington and E.B. Du Bois. You know, E.B. Du Bois was more of the intellectual type in terms of intellectualizing certain things, and Booker T. Washington was a more pragmatic type in terms of making sure, you know, trying to make sure that blacks had jobs and stuff, or were able to be independent to do things. And some people thought that was being menial, you know, it was almost like perpetuating the slavery and all like that. But see, what Booker T. Washington saw was that his attempt was to make blacks independent so they can get a job or even start a business so they can be independent. And I think that's where we should be today. We should be looking at how we can be less dependent on government and be more independent and do for ourselves. Because once you can do for yourself, they can't take that away from you. But if you always have to go back to the government for something, you're never going to be in a position to have, you know, to decide your own destiny.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. But how come, you know, this message has been, I said, for the last 15 years, do for self.
Right.
How come we continue to go down the same path?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why is, like I said earlier, when you say do for self, these programs that were designed to help people do for self, they haven't been effective. And I think one of the things that I see looking back on it and everything is that when you try to train people for jobs, and if the jobs are going overseas and everything, then to me, somebody who's responsible for creating an atmosphere where these companies feel they have to go overseas to make a profit, I feel those public officials are being derelict in their duty in some way. I notice we have a lot of we trade with China, we trade with Vietnam, all these other countries and everything. And what people don't realize is that a lot of these countries, their economy is, and I would say the industry, like even over in Korea where they have Hyundai and Kia and all like that, they get a lot of their funding from their national government. You know, their government props a lot of these private companies over there, and that's the reason why they're able to to sustain themselves, and we wind up buying from them. But yet over here, we tax companies to such an extent that they feel they have to go overseas to escape some of the taxes. I think what our public officials should do is figure out a way how we can keep some of these companies over here. You know. So, because people need jobs, they can't go overseas and work on those jobs. The jobs have to be over here. So, and how are you gonna help the people over here if the companies are going across the water?
How can we encourage? This is what I've been hearing a lot lately in the past couple of years from millennials. Millennials feel that they don't want to vote. They don't want to participate in the public process.
They say they do not, you're saying? They don't?
They don't want to participate in the political process.
Right.
It's too much nepotism. There's a lot of negative feedback from millennials, and I'm talking about African American millennials that don't want to participate in don't want to register to vote.
Right.
What would you say to them?
Well, you know what? When you don't vote, you're still casting a vote, believe it or not, and your vote goes to the person that you don't want to have it. So I call it being very irresponsible. Not voting to me is very irresponsible because that's the very way of not doing that is the best way to contribute to what the millennials are complaining about. If they don't vote, then they are contributing to the status quo that they've been complaining about. That's the best way I can put it.
Okay.
You know,
Let's go back.
It's all right to say. I mean, I don't know. I've heard some of the same things that you say, but to me, that's not an educated position to take. Is to say I'm not going to vote because, especially at the local level, I've seen elections decided on two or three or five votes and everything.
Okay, I'm going to talk about our current president right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we go out there and register folks to vote. They register. Reckon them, almost like the Obama years.
Right.
And the current president wins again. How can you keep this young person encouraged to not to lose faith in the political process?
Right. Say it again. How can what now?
All right. I'll give you a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We outreach. We register people to vote. We register record numbers to vote. Because people are getting tired of the current president. And on election day, or election night, at 10 o'clock p.m. next year, November the 4th, the current president wins. And we have record numbers going out there and vote. How can you keep these people engaged in the political process?
Right. How can you keep me gay? Well, you know, let me just say this. I mean,
they were responsible. They registered the vote. We registered a lot of new voters. And they went out on November 4th, 2020, to vote. And, I mean, record numbers.
Right.
And the current president wins again.
Right. Well, that means that there's enough people.
Same people that are disappointed in the political process continue to engage in the political process.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way the demographics are going right now is that people of color are I would say, gradually or eventually becoming, we are eventually becoming a majority-minority country. In the county
yeah.
that I live in, it's majority-minority. And it
and
behooves...
And they're asking them, too.
Huh? You say what
they're
now?
They're asking them, too. Huh?
Say it again.
I said your county is very affluent, too.
Well, it's more affluent than several others, right? It's pretty affluent county, and we need to do more than we're doing, and I think we can do it if we look at watch the budget and make sure that the money is being spent properly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How can we keep these people engaged?
Mm-hmm.
How can we keep them from the mindset, I'm not doing this again, I'm not wasting my time, the thing is rigged. Oh, I sound like a covered president.
Right.
The election is rigged. You know, how can we keep this person? How can we keep this person coming back?
Yeah. Well, what they need to do is get involved at the local level, and they can see exactly how it works. You know, a lot of these people who are talking about it being rigged, I would say this. To me, is not necessarily rigged. I think the thing that we have to keep in mind is that we have a certain mindset. I hate to say this, but we have a certain mindset that we don't participate, and then when things don't go right, we say everything is rigged. But if you participate, like I said earlier, you can, huh?
Let's say these people are participating.
Well, if they are participating, then it means that they're not participating enough. You have to get the numbers out. You know, it's who shows up at election. That's who shows up at the ballot, at the voting booth. That's the main thing. You know, you could, when people say they are involved how? There's so many. I've run across a lot of people who tell me that they're not going to vote, and ask them why aren't they going to vote, and then they get into the thing about just what we talked about earlier, that it doesn't matter, it's going to happen anyway. But see, people like that, I hate to say it, but I really don't try to debate them, because I got more important. You know, I could be talking to someone who will vote and they want to know the issues and all. I know I talk to certain, let's see, what is it, Jehovah Witnesses. I don't think they vote. You know, I asked some of them about voting. They said, no, we don't vote. You know, so it's kind of superfluous to be trying to debate with people who say they don't vote, you know, especially grown people. I like to deal with the people who want to see change. Those who don't want to see change are either don't do it necessary to deal with the change. And I must admit, I don't have much patience with those folks, you know.
On the campaign trail, don't you encounter people that at times that are very cynical to the process?
Mm. Right.
And if you do, how do you get around it? I mean, every audience is not a friendly audience.
Right.
I know you have to go into hostile territory sometime, right?
Mm. Well, let me tell you this. One reason why I'm running is because of the same thing that you just – of the same thing you mentioned. There are times when I feel very cynical about the process too, but I say that the only way I can address the cynicism that's out there is to try to participate myself.
Right.
You know, because you can be cynical, but being cynical is not going to solve anything. The best thing to do is to go out there and get your friend, and the friend gets their friend, and, sort of a multiplier effect, and then you do that. Everybody who runs for office is not necessarily a Barack Obama. See, I think that's one of the problems within the black community. You know, we want someone who's sort of like a messiah type person, you know, who has all this charisma and they can get all these millions of people to come together, you know. But that's sort of a rarity type thing at the local level where, like I said earlier, where all the action is taking place. They need to get people that are competent and they are dedicated towards solving the problems that are ahead. They don't need somebody who's so charismatic and they're just sort of in it for themselves, so to speak, and that's what we have in many cases.
Right.
We have people who run for office. They may have all this. They may be so charismatic and so beautiful speaking, and they can just sort of wow people. But yet, what do they actually do? You know, we can. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but there have been people at the forefront of black leadership for 35, 40 years and everything. What have they done over the years besides just sort of whip people up in a frenzy and talk about race all the time, you know? So I'm not saying race is not important, huh?
And marching. Let's have a march.
Yeah, marching, yeah. The thing
I have against marching, okay, all right, I have mixed feelings about marching.
Right.
Marching may bring publicity to the issue, but what was you talking about at the beginning of the show?
Right.
Policy.
Right.
Marching does not do anything for policy.
Right.
Policy.
But you know, you're right. But you know what? I'll tell you this, and this is something that I've experienced, and I've seen it. I've seen it whereby people will march, and they get everybody all emotional, riled up and everything. They have this marching, and they have all these speakers. They have all these wonderful sounding talk and all these they're great orators and everything like that. The very next day, guess what happens?
Nothing.
They're
going
right.
home.
One of the biggest
I like about the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
The civil rights movement, right, was send a team into a certain place, let's say Birmingham, Alabama,
right.
6 months, a year ahead of where Dr. King was going to come in and speak.
Right.
And they're going. Register voters, they hold the classes, they pass the test, they do a couple marches, they do a couple rallies, and then when the pot get really hot, here come Martin, make a speech, keep them fired up, leave. Guess what? That team is still there. Still there to work with the people. And I think we forgot about that strategy. Like gun, for example, this thing about gun violence in the black neighborhood. Well, I have a mixed feelings with that. I think we have a right to bear arms and own a gun. But on the other hand, I am against gun violence. You know, too many of our children are being killed. Too many people are being killed by unnecessary gun violence. Not self-protection, but gun violence, especially in African-American communities. Let's take that for example, that policy. Now, the only time that people come speak out about gun violence where cops shoot a black kid, all right? But nobody is there on a daily basis in the Capitol and the legislature advocating for gun violence. Gun violence control. Nobody is not at City Hall. Nobody is at the police commissioner office. Nobody is not sitting down with different committees or going to the town hall meetings and discuss. Gun violence. I'm going to use gun violence as an example. We come out rah, 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 rah for 2 hours because somebody got shot.
Right.
But nobody, and here's the kicker, nobody don't want to do the footwork.
Right.
Nobody don't want to put in the work. Nobody don't want to go to these meetings every week. Nobody don't want to go to the council meetings every week. Nobody don't want to go to the freehold meeting every month.
Right.
To
but see, the way I look at it,
Hold up. No, I just want to end on this.
Okay.
Not only go to the meetings and whatnot, Nobody wants to speak with different detectives and police commissioners and different community actors about this issue. And how about this? Different gangbangers about this issue, because they have feelings too about it. They don't like all this stuff, because gun violence is bad for business. And what I'm saying is, where is the work? We don't have people to work for us or speak for us. Maybe we got guys like you, but we don't have people because, yeah, they're doing the campaign trail. Yeah, standing up there, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Oh, for another example, how about free breakfast for the students in certain communities? We're going to talk up that. They'll say this, and they'll say that, and they'll say this. And once they get elected, you won't hear from until 4 years from now. And another thing, in a lot of communities, a lot of people are using politics as a career instead of using it as a mission. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, see, what I think we need to do, too, another thing that's very important is managing expectations. You know, some of these people, some of these politicians or public officials or the people who wanted to, you know, run for office, they promise everything under the sun, you know, and they should really, a lot of them know good and well they can't get everything done because one person can't do the work. If you're on a county, city council or county council, it takes everybody on there to decide, or your vote is no more than the other person's vote. So I think that's one of the problems too. You know, people hear people say, "Well, when I get on, I'm going to do such and such and such." With me, I don't say I'm going to do certain things. I say that here's what I'm going to advocate for. I'm going to advocate this type of this particular thing. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do too. And see, that's another reason why I think voting at the local level is very important, because once you become active or involved at the local level, you will begin to see what is possible and what isn't possible. And I think that's what we need to start educating people about. There's some people who don't even know they're having elections, you know.
Yeah, isn't that tough that, you know, there are different, like there's a big election now in Jackson, Mississippi. All Republicans. I mean, like, really? I look at this race. It's similar to your race. I look at the race in Jackson, Mississippi, and all the candidates are Republicans. I said, wow. I bet you how many at Jackson, Mississippi have a very significant amount, significant African-American population. You know, I bet you 50% don't even know that race is going on.
Right.
And I know I mentioned this to you about a month ago, the last time you was on. That's how the Tea Party got controlled, by starting at the local level at these town board meetings.
Right.
And now we have a white supremacist as president. And their whole mission was to stop President Obama. That was their whole mission.
To stop
President
Obama. The whole
mission
was to make sure that he didn't get reelected. That's what they wanted to make sure of.
Yeah. But in the process, they were able to get support and resources and backing for several of the people that are congressmen and senators now.
Right.
And you know, and from that Tea Party, we have a supremacist.
So, their goal
was accomplished and started out 16 to 20 years ago.
Right.
16 years ago, when President Obama was elected, that's when the Tea Party was formed.
Right.
And this And today, that we have a president from that process. And
mm-hmm.
they started out at the local level.
Right.
So going back to what you've been stating is that we have to get involved at the local state level.
Right,
and,
we have to.
And it's very important to be, and you said something that's ironic, it's important to be educated, not just involved, educated,
right.
Like, who are you backing?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's important. See, education, believe it or not, education is the key. And I hate to say this, but there are certain forces out here that don't want us to be educated. You know, so if there are certain forces out here that don't want us to be educated, then that almost right then and there kind of sort of be a eye-opener. And I know why they don't want us to be educated, because they don't want us to be able to control our own destiny. Because when you don't control your own destiny, you're always going back to somebody else for help, and that keeps them in power. You know.
Hey,
that's
you know
how
what?
I look at it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to end the show early tonight, and because my throat is killing me. Like I was explaining to the audience before you came on.
Right.
I only got a couple more weeks of treatments. And for my medical condition, I'd be okay.
Right.
Sometimes I just can't have the energy to do the show.
Right, I understand. Yeah, I heard you before we got on. I heard you say that.
Man, now my throat is killing me, you know. But like I told everybody, I'll be back as strong next month, you know. So.
Right. But the main thing is the big takeaway is for people to vote, and especially but make sure they vote at the local level, I guess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that, folks? You download this show. The thing is start organizing. Organizing. Start going to the meetings.
Right.
Find out you'd be surprised how that information is not really available.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find out if you have an issue in your community, the only way to get exposure for the issue in your community is to go to these political meetings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Donald.
Yeah.
I'll see you next time, sir.
Okay, yeah, and you take care of your cold and everything. Yeah, I look to hear from you next time. We'll talk about it more in detail some more.
Okay, brother.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bro. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.